but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Oregon State has itself a new football coach. Jamarcus Shepherd is the guy. I got a chance to sit down with him one-on-one. His first one-on-one interview, Jamarcus Shepherd and I, we started really talking about his kids and his family and wide-ranging conversation. Give it a listen. Here's my interview with Oregon State's new football coach.
John, what's going on, brother?
How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'll just jump right in. How's it been for your family? What do you guys? What did you guys do when you got in yesterday?
You know what? We didn't get in. We got in actually on what was it? Sunday night late, about 9:30 late, and didn't get into town till about 11. And so we went to sleep. Got a little bit of rest. And you know what? You know, obviously, knowing that we had a lot of things on our plate on Monday, got up early, and we were ready to hit the ground running right away. And so my wife and my children, they actually went and looked at a house and tried to she's ready to put an offer in on the house already, which I think will be great. And, you know, especially this one will serve as a great hub for the coaches I plan to bring in, so that in the interim, while we give them a chance to figure out where they're going to live and all that good stuff, it's a way for them to have somewhere where we can all bond as well as a coaching staff. Obviously, I got great relationships with all of them, but for them to bond with each other and so on and so forth.
Yeah, the kids, you know, people always think about the program and the recruits, and they should, but your kids have been, what, Pullman, Seattle, Tuscaloosa, Corvallis. That has to feel like a whirlwind to them. Like you and your wife, as you manage the kids, what do you say? What's the messaging in the household?
Well, in our household, we talk about adversity all the time. There's really only three things you're guaranteed in life. Okay. Unfortunately, we're going to die. Okay. Taxes. Okay. You're going to pay taxes, and you're guaranteed adversity. Okay. You're guaranteed that. And so they know that, and they're prepared for that. And so honestly, the move for them has been pretty seamless because they're built for it. You know, we've helped them understand that these things are going to happen, but we also have communicated with them all throughout the process. Different coaches have different philosophies about that with their families, but we communicate with them from the beginning to let them know, hey, this may be a possibility. So when it all transpired, guess what? They were prepared for it because, no, my daughter was actually asking me interview questions in preparation to do the Zoom and critiquing me. And I'm going to tell you what, she probably critiqued me harder than the committee did. She was all over me. And so they knew what was happening, and they've been enjoying this process so far.
All right, I'm going to put a picture up on the screen. There's seventh grade and eighth grade, I think. Am I right?
Oh, right around there. Right,
okay, around there, sixth, yeah. And seventh, right in there. What was that kid thinking at that time? What are you thinking?
Wow, that is an outstanding question, John. I just tell it how it is. That kid at that time was thinking about, when am I going to get my next meal? Mm. That kid at that time was thinking about, why do the shoes that I have on, why are the soles almost coming off of my shoes? That kid was thinking about, why did our heat get turned off at home? But that kid was happy though. It's crazy to think that that kid was still so happy and smiled and was excited about the opportunities that life could bring at that time. And I loved going to school. I did. I loved engaging my teachers, the students around me, my fellow classmates, my teammates. I loved going to school. I loved being around people. Now, there was a point where I wasn't as talkative as I am now. And, you know, I learned that, you know, if you got something to say, say it. And so that young man, I'm super proud of him because he became the humble man that I am now. And so he was resilient. He fought through all the adversity that he was experiencing at that time to become a head football coach. I never thought, that kid was never thinking about coaching, you know? Never. I'll tell you a quick thing. You know, when I was in high school, this is my senior year of high school football. My head coach pulls me in and he says, "Hey, Jamarcus, I'm just letting you know, I don't even know if you're going to start this year for our football team." This is my senior year. But this team, they voted you the captain of this team. And so you're doing something right. And I've been the captain of every sports team I've ever been on now. And so now I get to captain this ship at Oregon State University.
Your teachers back at Jefferson Middle School, they were celebrating yesterday. They were celebrating. They were telling their kids, "Hey, there was a smiling 6th, 7th, 8th grader that was on this campus that, you know, came from poverty and rode the bus." You know, you were bussed in, right? Across town, is that right?
That's right. Every morning is about a 25-minute bus ride. Yeah.
What was that ride like for you?
Well, you know, it's funny because in Fort Wayne, Indiana, you know, there was a point in time where all the kids on the south side of town went to one school. And then eventually they sort of carved up the entire south side of town and start bussing us all to schools on the north side of town. So, you know, honestly, getting bussed up there to Jefferson Middle School, up to Northrop High School, it was just an opportunity for me to get myself mentally prepared for what was to come. And, you know, I you already said it, I grew up, I didn't have everything growing up. And so when I think about where I was going, I wanted to compete, you know, I wanted to compete in the classroom. I was thinking about it on the way there. Hey, Shannon Kiefer, again, that's a classmate of mine. I still remember her name. I used to sing this song. All right. Oh, Shenandoah. And some people will know it, but long story short, I wanted to compete with Shannon Kiefer because to be quite honest about it, I looked at some of the other people in my class and I felt like maybe I didn't know, but I thought maybe they had everything at their disposal. And I was like, I don't care that you have everything at your disposal. I'm still going to try to beat you. I'm still going to try to be better than you. I'm still going to try to make you feel the pressure that I'm coming after you. And that's what this football program needs to be about, you know? All right. Yeah, maybe we don't have some of the things, but we have a lot. We have a lot more than others. And we got to make other people around this country feel us.
I know one of the concerns from the committee going in was, you know, they wanted a CEO and they feel like they got one in you. What did you do in that interview that made them believe that you were a CEO?
Well, I just learned under great head football coaches how to conduct myself, but also how to run a program. When you look at coaches like Jeff Brohm, you look at Kalen DeBoer, when you look at Willie Taggart and the late great Mike Leach, but don't forget about Bobby Petrino. Everybody has, you know, their flaws and whatnot. But these men, they taught me how to be a CEO. They put me in conversations that the typical coach doesn't get put into those conversations. And I'm eternally grateful to them for that. But I also took some onus on myself to go through some training, finding out more about who I am, what do I want to exude as a coach and as a person, figuring out my why and why I want to be a head football coach. And so, you know, I got to give a lot of credit and kudos to the NCAA, Craig Littlepage and John. John Oliver, they really helped me see, like, who am I and being excited about who I am. I always felt good about myself, but hey, I had to see myself in this role and what it was going to take for me to have success in this particular role, which is different than any other one. No one sees all the things that the head football coach goes into. And at the end of the day, even now, I still don't know everything that the head football coach is going to go through. But I do know this. I also didn't know how to be a father until I became a father. Okay, I didn't know how to be a husband until I became a husband. And what did I do? I say to my players, y'all, you are who you associate with. So I started surrounding myself with other great fathers, okay? I surrounded myself with other great husbands. You know, I tell my players, if you surround yourself with knuckleheads, people are going to think you're a knucklehead. If you surround yourself with fighters, better start carrying some boxing gloves because you're probably going to be fighting. I tell them, hey, you surround yourself with some rich people, then maybe you're going to be rich, okay? So I tell them, get some rich friends. But I surround myself with people who I think are great men and great head coaches, and so I think that that's what won them over to know that that's who I'm going to surround myself going forward.
You walk into that team meeting, and, you know, that's a team that didn't win this year, and that is hard, and you know that. You've been around teams. When you don't get the result, when you don't get the carrot, that is a difficult thing. What was your goal walking in front of those guys for the first time and talking with them?
Well, I had done my research ahead of time, and I knew that there were some things that we needed to address right away. And the first thing was the discipline piece of it. It's funny because everybody sees me smile and how happy and joyful I am. But to my core, if you go back and watch some videos, you'll see that, oh no, I'm a disciplinarian. I cut my teeth that way. Bobby used to say it all the time, confront and demand. And so I wanted to go in there right now and confront the fact that we are not a disciplined football team and demand that when you get back here, you better be prepared for it, for that discipline to be instilled in our program. But I also wanted to instill in them hope, you know, because I wanted them to understand that champions, they really act like champions well before they actually win a championship. You can see it and feel it on the team well before you're getting to that championship. You know, in 23 at Washington, man, we knew we were going to have a really good team. And we had coaches who were being coveted by other programs. And we all kind of just said, nah, let's stay around. I think these guys are acting like champions right now. And, of course, we ended up making it to the national championship. And even this year at Alabama, we feel strongly about how these guys are conducting themselves and what they're all about and how they act. And so that's the part I wanted to instill in them. But lastly, I wanted them to understand this. The best teams, the worst teams, I'm sorry, that I've been a part of, they really had no leaders. And I would imagine that you guys struggle with leadership here, you know. And the really, really good teams that I've been a part of, the coaches led everything. And I believe that the greatest teams I've been a part of were player-led. Players held each other accountable. But that doesn't just happen. It's great to say that kind of stuff. I wanted them to know I'm going to teach them how to lead. I'm going to help them learn how to lead. But I also wanted to know you can't be sensitive, okay? All right? I want what's best for you. My success is your success, okay? And so we're going to lead you in the right direction. I didn't come here to be your friend, but I also came here to know you and know what kind of person you are, okay? I wanted them to know this. Last but not least, we're going to be a family here, okay? Our coaches are going to love you. We're going to learn about you, all right, before we try to show you what we know. So, because they don't care what you know until they know that you care.
It's interesting, you know, as you talked about being a kid and the soles of your shoes, I thought about another kid that I covered years ago, Maurice Cheeks, basketball player in the NBA. Mo you know, he puts his sweaters and he folds his sweaters nicely. He said he folds his clothes nicely as an adult because he remembers as a kid he only had one or two sweaters. Do you? Does that childhood stay with you? Does it ever leave you?
You know what? No, it doesn't. You know, it continues to inspire me. Right now, I'll tell you a little bit of something. I have a ton of shoes. I have so many. I have a ridiculous amount of shoes. I should not have the number of shoes that I have. I should go donate them to somebody. That's the one thing that it's a constant reminder when I see them stacked up that way that, you know what? Hey, you found a way to, you know, overcome what you've been going through. But and I don't want it to really ever go away. It's inspiring to me, you know. It drives me, it pushes me. But also it's so awesome that a person like Ms. Augenbaugh would talk and about me and say the things that she said. There's a huge part of me that just doesn't want to disappoint all those folks back there. You know, I don't want to disappoint them. I think to this point, a lot of them will say they're proud of me or whatever that is. And I hope that I am making them proud, but I don't want to disappoint them. And I'm going to do everything in my power not to disappoint them. I don't want to disappoint my family. And I don't want to disappoint the players that I've coached over the years because they knew that this was a goal of mine to become a head football coach at some point. And I got guys like Rondell Moore calling me already saying, hey, coach, I'll come coach for you if you want me to. I want to help you build this thing. And I think that's a pretty common theme across the country. These coaches, I just thank them right now. All these high school coaches from New Jersey, New York, Florida, all the Florida boys, okay? Detroit, Michigan, oh my goodness. Nashville, Tennessee, we have grinded together, okay? You guys have helped me get there. All the Nashville coaches. Hey, all the guys down in Texas who have helped me out. LA, stand up. All the LA coaches, okay? Bay Area guys, I've talked to all those guys. I appreciate you. Vegas, we love our Vegas coaches, okay? Seattle, hey, I've recruited all over the country, and these coaches, I feel like, are wrapping their arms around me right now saying, Shep, hey, we're going to help you get this done. We're going to help you get this done. And guys, I know I've tried to respond to every single text that I've gotten. It's been 1,400, 1,500 of them, and I'm about 70 deep left that I got to respond back to. They're wrapping their arms around me, and I appreciate it. I'm going to wrap my arms right back around them, and let's go get it done. This is going to be America's program when this is all said and done.
All right, so you've got to build a roster. And look, everybody always says the portal's bad, but I think for a first-year coach, it's not bad. This is a good thing. You've got you're going to have ample number of players available. How do you figure out who's the right player for you? What's the level of player that you go after? Who are you looking for? You know, you don't want a shortcut. You want guys that fit your culture, your building culture. How do you navigate all that?
I think it starts with relationships first. Our coaches have relationships with a lot of the young men at various institutions that may go in the portal. And, you know, once they do, then we'll lean on those relationships because that's going to help with the cultural piece of it. So our position coaches will be able to vouch for those people because of the relationships that they built with them. But I think also you want to do your due diligence finding out, you know, who has had game experience, who's been out there, because certainly there's going to be guys who have played significant numbers of snaps, and that helps, you know, when you're trying to build the program in and of itself. Obviously, you lost some players to graduation here at Oregon State, and now you got to go find out who's going to be ready to actually play this upcoming season to build a competitive roster. Okay, but we are not going to avoid going into the JUCOs, picking up some extra high school kids in the second window. There will be no stone that goes unturned in order to try to build this roster the way that we want to. But it really going to start with those two things. Hey, our prior relationships and making sure that we're looking at their production, having already played in college football. You'd like to get some kids who know what it feels like to be in the fire, to be in the position out there on game day.
All right, give me a guilty pleasure before you go here. You have a show you binge watch. You have a fast food place you love. You have what is Jamarcus Shepherd? What popped into your mind there?
I eat too much candy. Okay, that's the first thing that popped into my mind. I eat way too much candy. I've tried over the years to avoid it, but I definitely eat way too much candy.
What kind of candy are we talking about?
What's that?
What are we talking about? Like candy bars,
candy bars, gummies. I mean, all of it. You know,
Sour Patch stuff. I don't.
All of it. It doesn't even. It's big hard candies. Jolly Ranchers. All of it. You know. So. And then I love to ride my bike. That's one of my getaways. That is one of my favorite things to do. I got to thank my wife. She's the one that purchased the bike for me. And that is a 25-mile bike ride is one of the best things that I do in my life. And so I believe we got some great trails and things around here that I'll be able to do that as frequently as possible.
Yeah, Mike Riley used to ride his bike to practice, ride it to work. So there you go.
I may be able to do that. We'll see if that's even a possibility, I'd love to. I used to do that at Purdue. I used to ride back and forth, and I did it some in Seattle. So we'll see if there's a possibility of me doing that.
I think you and I talked about this. I covered Purdue, and I when I got here, I saw similarities between kind of the fan bases and the mentality at Purdue and Oregon State. There was you've got a little bit of agricultural and engineering, kind of in the background at both schools. But I think that blue collar mentality is at both places. So we'll see. I know there's a lot of people that are happy you're here. A lot of people, happy you're here. You went and won that job. Now go win some games.
And no doubt about it. I pride myself in treating people the right way, but you can't stay if you don't do a good job on the field. So I'm going to get back to some recruiting and hire some coaches, and we'll make this thing special. Okay.
Right. By now, your kids have picked out their bedrooms, and you'll get a look at the house maybe later.
So. No doubt. No doubt.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you very much, and go Bees.
Fantastic stuff with Jamarcus Shepherd there. Loved it. Loved the energy. It's not even really what he says, right? Although the substance of it is great, it's how he says it. Coming up, we're going to talk about the college football playoff rankings. Plus, I want to get your reaction to my interview with Coach Shepherd. If you're an Oregon State fan, are you fired up about this? What is the ceiling for him in season one next year? First year in the Pac-12, Jamarcus Shepherd will be the coach at Oregon State. I want your phone calls at 503-417-7575. Plus, we talk about the latest college football playoff rankings. What's the committee trying to tell us? We'll break it down next.